Whichever coffee you want, Mojo Espresso is the double shot you need. It's your caffeine-inspired shot of inspiration and perspective, made organically to help you on your journey, with the goal to win the morning and win the day. Firstly, thanks for joining us last month, where we discussed some of the biggest distractions that are sabotaging us right now. I've actually just got back from 2 months traveling across Europe and the US, and I can honestly say I have never seen the world so distracted as it is right now, which is really affecting our confidence on so many levels. And it's this lack of confidence which has kind of spurred us on for this month's episode of Mojo Espresso. We built the Mojo Mindset course in the middle of a pandemic with this actual insight in mind to help people find confidence in themselves and in each other and in their performances, and kind of focus on being a good human being first and a great athlete second. So to this month's theme, which is all about confidence, which for a lot of us is kind of like oxygen. When you've got it, you actually don't think about it until you don't have it anymore. And then it's kind of all you can think about. The reason I want to talk about confidence is in 2019, I took a gap year to work out what I wanted to do when I grew up. And this is before the whole world took a gap year in 2020. And we visited over 20 odd countries and did over 200 talks. And we spoke with thousands of people. And I came back to Australia in December of that year. And I wrote in my journal, the whole world is looking for these same two things, confidence and happiness, but confidence in particular. But we don't seem to know where to go to find it. And in some cases, we can't even explain what we mean by it, let alone how to find it. We just know we've lost it. The reason I think we struggle to get a handle on it is because there's actually two types of confidences, and the way to unlock them are actually quite different. Sometimes we're referring to confidence in our jobs or our studies. We call this performance confidence, whereas other times it's quite simply confidence in ourselves. We call this self-confidence. So defining it is one thing, but understanding where it comes from or why we lose it is another. And then understanding how to build it on both dimensions and make it a constant in our lives is, for most of us, what we're in search of. So it's actually important to break it down from these two lenses. As a human being, we need self-confidence. As a human doing, we need performance confidence. And while we'll cover off both, for the purpose of this episode today, I want to focus on the first one, self-confidence, which most of us don't actually want to tackle. When people ask for help, they typically want performance confidence, but what they actually need, without realizing it, is self-confidence. So why do we need to tackle this first? Well, there's several reasons. Often what holds us back in life or love or our professions or our studies is not actually confidence in our skills, but it's confidence in ourselves. To have this fundamental belief that we are worthy to be here, to be in the arena, yeah, worthy of belonging and connection and just worthy of going after our goals and dreams. Not having this is actually what often sabotages our mindset in critical moments. And this is why we focus so much at Mojo on that first question, who am I? Because we need to work out who we are and then let go of who we're not and be confidently at peace with that before we go after what we want. The most consistent problem I've observed in all my years working with athletes is not confidence in their skills. It's confidence in themselves. And it always gets played out on center court in clutch moments where, because of this, we tighten up rather than lighten up, right? Or we shift from, I don't know, playing carefree to playing careful. So the obvious question is, how the hell do I develop self-confidence so I can go about mastering my craft or training or studying or practicing whatever skills I want to get better at, yeah? Without this nagging feeling of not being good enough or strong enough or smart enough or just generally not being enough. Well, the short answer is we've developed a whole mindset course around this exact issue, but for the purposes of this Mojo Espresso episode, I discuss briefly what we call our ABCs. And our ABCs stand for acceptance, belief, and confidence. Or more specifically, self-acceptance, self-belief, and self-confidence. and we need to develop them in that order, A, B, C. Acceptance or self-acceptance comes from celebrating our imperfections rather than berating them. Yeah, it's basically saying, okay, this is me. This is what I look like. These are the cards I've been dealt. This is my lot in life, and being totally okay with that. Yeah, it's kind of first base where we say, I accept me. Because then we can get curious and say, okay, so now what do I do? What do I do with those cards? What's next? Who can help me? You know, that becomes the interesting bit. It's kind of embracing your weird, as we say, whether that's your dance style or your sense of humor or your guilty pleasures or your pet peeves. Self-acceptance is acknowledging our strengths and weaknesses as neither good nor bad, but merely is what it is. Yeah, and then we can go about maximizing our strengths and improving our weaknesses, but without this value judgment or comparison, because we're all on different journeys. Yeah, and to be truly authentic and live a life true to me is actually a competitive advantage. Yeah, because there's only one you. When we accept ourselves unconditionally, we immediately stop comparing ourselves or judging ourselves, right? So we stop this interference straight away. Self-acceptance also requires a huge amount of self-compassion. It's something we actually suck at as humans. To do this, we've got to do what Ted Lasso says, right? We've got to buy ourselves some scissors and cut ourselves some slack and be a little bit kinder and gentler with ourselves first. There's always going to be critics who don't accept us. Quincy Jones, one of the world's greatest musical storytellers, used to say to himself every morning, not a shred of my self-worth is dependent on your acceptance of me. It was dependent on his acceptance of himself. Yeah, and there's a lot of critics in the music industry. Or Lizzo, since her epic arrival on the music scene, she's been a huge advocate for the power of self-acceptance and unlocking her self-confidence and clapping back at the haters for any type of body shaming. Lizzo says, I feel like we're all born confident, but as we get older, we start to develop insecurities. So she dialed up a self-acceptance that, in her own words, tore down those insecurities and reclaimed the confidence she was born with. Yeah, Lizzo actually talks to herself out loud with affirmations, which I love that. And she said recently, I'm not crazy, I'm just human, and I have to stop being so hard on myself. Whenever someone doesn't fit the stereotype, it's self-acceptance that becomes our Trojan horse to keep going. Yeah, Steph Curry was criticized for being a one-trick pony, kind of small three-point shooter. And instead of rebelling against that, he owned it. He accepted it and then changed the face of basketball forever. Same for Leo Messi, who was told he was too small and actually got bullied at school for it. But rather than discouraging him, it encouraged him and pushed through to change the face of football forever. Or one of my favorites, Tony Hawk, who was ostracized by the cool kids of skateboarding in California for being different or looking different or being nerdy and tall and just not fitting in, right? His response, he accepted it, kept going, and became arguably the greatest skateboarder of all time, right? Self-acceptance is a superpower. What can drive us? And by the way, you should definitely watch his new documentary, which has just come out. And now for a short break while I make myself a coffee. If you're listening to this right now and you're thinking, gee, I wish my team at work knew about these principles, head to the Mojo Crow website to explore our Mojo for Work program. Now, where was I? Okay, the second letter in the ABCs is belief. Yeah, self-belief, which is quite literally believing you're worthy, believing you're enough, which is something we all struggle with. And from a human being perspective, this is how we should be defining success, in my opinion. So for Ash Barty, the human being, not the human doing, success wasn't winning Wimbledon. Success was believing she was worthy to win Wimbledon. That was the first step. It was believing she was worthy just to be in the arena. Because then we can put our goals and dreams out in the universe with this childlike freedom, yeah, and without any pressure or expectations or fear. When we define success from this perspective, we no longer have to wait to be successful. We no longer have to wait to be happy. We literally fall in love with the process of being a human being who believes he or she is enough and gets excited by the possibility of realizing his or her potential. So whether we get there or not is arbitrary because there's so many things outside of our control. So how do we develop self-belief? again, if you've done the exercises in the Mojo course, you'll know this answer. But in a nutshell, our belief system gets shaped by our life story. Yeah, shit happens in life and we believe a certain thing, good or bad, right or wrong, about ourselves or the world in general. Yeah, and unfortunately, it's more negative than positive because of this reptilian brain with a negative bias. It's like Velcro for negative and Teflon for positive. So, and we accidentally attach our self-worth to a particular event or relationship. Yeah, and rather than saying it was bad, we accidentally say I was bad or I am bad. Yeah, so reframing our belief system requires reframing our life story to create a more empathetic, compassionate, positive, affirmation-based version, and one which we say, I am enough, but I'm not done yet, which was a beautiful mantra one of our Mojo Tribe sent us in the last masterclass. The goal is to identify my version of not enoughness and then reframe my version of events with more positivity and compassion. Once we can accept ourselves unconditionally and believe that we're fundamentally worthy of connection and belonging and having a crack at life, then we have the self-confidence to go after what we want in life. Yes, safe in the knowledge that whether we get there or not doesn't affect our sense of self-worth. Yeah, this reframing is, in my opinion, the core to creating self-belief. And from that place, we can get into the C in the ABC, which is confidence, yeah, and have the self-confidence to own our story, all of it, yeah, and then step out into the world. In a world where it's continuous effort just to be yourself, if we can do our ABCs and own our story and be true to who we are in any condition, yeah, before we go after what we want, you'll have created three things: a bulletproof resilience, an unconditional acceptance, and a fundamental belief system that says, I am worthy to be here and to contribute. Yeah, that's confidence in self. And as a human being, in my opinion, that's success. Now, what most of the world doesn't realize is as the author of our own life stories, we actually have that power to decide our version. Yeah, so it's not what happens to us in life, but rather the meaning we put behind it, yeah, or our interpretation. We actually have a choice. And most of us don't realize we have that choice. What limits self-confidence, therefore, is rather that owning our story, we let our story own us. Yeah. And when we let our stories own us, we lose control. And this is where ego and fear jump at the opportunity to fill this confidence void and start to take over our psychology. Yeah. And one of the great antidotes here is humility. As humans, we don't actually realize that humility is a freaking great superpower because it's actually a quiet confidence based on core values and hard work, and it just grounds us in the most beautiful, authentic way. Yeah, think of some of the most humble people you know. Yeah, for me, that might be my mum, right? Or it could also be Roger Federer or Mother Teresa or Coldplay's Chris Martin or Ash Barty's coach, Craig Tizer, right? And then think about the attributes that make the people you've identified that make them so humble, yeah? For me, it might be the fact that they don't think they're better than anyone else, right? Regardless of what they achieve. Or it might be simply being honest with their weaknesses and being encouraging of others' strengths. Or it might be always just saying we, not I, yeah? Or acknowledging when they don't know something. Yeah, or they might just not take themselves too seriously, or maybe not resting on their laurels when they've tasted success, they get back on the track, yeah? Or maybe they just don't buy into this bullshit cult of self or see themselves as the center of their own universe, right? Their perspective is always, okay, I'm a very small fish in a pond of 7 billion people, yeah, where Mother Nature is absolutely in control. And just acknowledging that is, well, quite humbling, yeah? Humility won't let you take credit for luck, and humility doesn't let small victories seem larger than they actually are, right? Humility is a quiet confidence, a grounding. And the thing about humility is it often unlocks this beautiful sense of appreciation rather than expectation, where we're just grateful for what we've got rather than bitching and moaning for what we haven't. When we practice humility, we care about others first and ourselves second. Right? We're interested, not interesting. With humility, we treat everyone as equals and create horizontal relationships with others. But if we let fear and ego take over, then we let our stories own us, yeah? And we create vertical relationships. Humility stops us comparing and judging ourselves to others or viewing interrelationships as a competition. And this is really important because without this confidence, we move from horizontal relationships where we're humble and everyone's an equal to vertical relationships where superiority or inferiority complex takes over. Yeah. When we put ourselves below others, at its extreme, that's an inferiority complex. Yeah. Where fear lives. When we put ourselves above others, that's superiority complex. And that's where ego or arrogance lives. So when you think about it, ego and fear are actually two sides of the same coin. So when you think superiority complex, think ego. When you think inferiority complex, think fear. Yeah. Ego doesn't choose to see who you really are, but instead inflates you to a level of being more important or better than others. Yeah. Fear, on the other hand, blocks you from seeing who you really are, replacing that with a point of view focused on being less than others. Yeah. So your homework for me, please, is to step outside of yourself for the next week and just pay attention to how you show up and see if you may be accidentally or inadvertently creating a vertical relationship in some way, shape, or form. And then go back and work around that self-acceptance and self-belief homework, or maybe create a courage mantra that reminds you that, you know what, I am worthy to be here. Or screw it, I am a good person, I'm doing the best job I can. And create more of a horizontal relationship between yourself and the other people. Here's a little break while I enjoy my coffee. If you're listening to this right now and you're thinking, I don't want to just listen anymore, I actually want to do some of the work, then download the MojoCro app and start a course. And now, back to the episode. And one final ingredient to help you build self-confidence, and that is embrace vulnerability. Yeah, embrace imperfection and just have the ability to look silly. Yeah, because that's actually self-confidence, to be open and open-minded to the fact that you'll never have all the answers, right? It's to grow at peace with this beginner's mindset, this beginner phase of our doing, no matter how ridiculous you look. And that's what surfers and skateboarders and roller skaters can teach us about confidence, because in their pursuit to get better, they actually don't care about looking silly. Yeah. They're at peace with the inevitable fact that at times they'll look ridiculous. The activity teaches us that failure is an accepted norm, and these activities are all about progression. Yeah, it's not about being better than anyone else, but about being better than your past self, who you were yesterday. And that this feel of progression, of Kaizen, of continuous improvement, gives you a sense of purpose with these endless numbers of challenges to face right on. Okay, now let's briefly touch on performance confidence before we wrap up, because I mentioned at the start, there's two types of confidences. We've spoken a lot about self-confidence, but let's just talk briefly about the other one, yeah? Performance confidence, which requires a very different approach. And this is one of the most popular exercises in our mindset course at the moment. Regarding performance confidence, most people mistakenly believe that confidence comes from results, which when you're winning, confidence is high, when you're losing, confidence tanks. But when you think about it, confidence can never come from results, yeah? Because you can't control the things you can't control. Competitors, outcomes, you know, pandemics and so forth. Once you realize that, confidence in a performance sense only ever comes from two places. Yeah, the first one's training or practicing or studying, yeah, muscle memory, depending on what discipline you're in. And the second one is mindset. They're the only two places confidence will come from. So it's either a training issue, it's a skill acquisition issue, or it's a mindset issue, yeah? What sabotages our performance confidence is focusing on things we can't control, but wanting to control them, yeah? Which causes pressure. Yeah, pressure doesn't actually exist as a construct in the mind unless you're focusing on something you can't control, yeah? But wanting to control it. So your homework is to identify, what's my flavor of distraction? What are the uncontrollables in my life about wanting to control them is sabotaging my performances, yeah? So no matter what type of performance you're doing for a living, the goal is to identify, acknowledge, and accept and let go these uncontrollables, and then focus back on the only things you can control, yeah? You'll realize that there's not actually many things you can control in performance mindset. There's your intent, you know, your intention, how hard you want to train, and it's effectively your mindset and the words which represent the best version of you. Okay, so they're the two types of confidences. Remember, when you're feeling that general lack of confidence, practice your ABCs first and foremost. Yeah, focus on the human being first. Then focus on the human doing and critique your skill set and mindset and see which one of those may just need the most attention. And then have a crack and see what happens. Okay, that's it for another episode of Mojo Espresso. And until next time, I will love you and leave you and see you on the other side in the soup. Bye for now.